Blog Talk Radio.
Conversations with American Heroes at the Watering Hole. Conversations with American Heroes is produced by American Heroes Press in cooperation with High Tech.
Back after a two-month hiatus and a technical problem right off the bat. Boy, I'm sure apologize for that, but that's what happens when it's going live and basically out of your command post deep underground. Anyway, it's May 14th, and this episode of American Heroes Radio features a conversation with Josh Weddle, a police officer, military veteran, and motivational speaker. Here on American Heroes Radio, we've interviewed many service members, and one of those was Cy Brenner, and during World War II, Cy went into the 410th Infantry Regiment of the 103rd Division. Later, he was transferred to the 2nd Battalion Medical Detachment on the night of November 29th, 1944. While serving in southern France, Brenner was wounded and taken prisoner by the Nazis. He was involved in a two-week death march from Nuffeld in France in the Vosges Mountains to Ludwigsburg, Germany, at the height of the coldest winter in European history. Brenner survived without food or water, existing by eating snow, and during that march, only 70% of the prisoners, most of whom were wounded, survived. Most either died of exhaustion, froze to death, or were shot by the Nazis for trying to escape or simply falling down. Cy was interviewed here on American Heroes Radio.
We were, as I said, we were being shelled mercilessly, and we were in a very wooded area in the mountains. And when we got out of that area, I was with another soldier who I didn't know, and he said to me, "Let's get into the shadows of that farmhouse so they won't see us," because there were six Tiger tanks there shelling us with their 88s on the tanks. And as we ran toward the farmhouse, I looked over my shoulder and saw a flash, and that's all I remembered. I was later told that the farmhouse blew up and that both of our bodies went flying into the air, and so our friends thought we were killed. But actually, when I regained consciousness, the soldier next to me, whose name I never did find out, rolled over and he said to me, "I broke your dog tags in half so they wouldn't know that you were Jewish. I told them that you had the wrong blood type on it." And there was a German standing over me with an American 45 on my nose, and another one was kicking me in the ribs, yelling, "Raus, raus, get up, get up." And another one had a hand grenade, and I thought, "My God, if he throws a grenade, he'll kill us all."
You can hear the entire interview of Cy Brenner, the author of The Night I Got Killed, at AmericanHeroesRadio.com, episode number 131. Here at American Heroes Radio, we have over 5,000 friends on Blog Talk, but we can always use more, so go to our show page and make us a friend. And, of course, make us a favorite. Now, that's important, make the show a favorite, and become a follower here on Blog Talk Radio. And then go over to our Facebook fan page and join the over 4,000 people who are fans of American Heroes Radio on Facebook. And on Twitter, we have just over 25,000 followers, and that's at AMER Heroes Radio, AMERHEROESRADIO. Thank you for listening. The show has been downloaded over 1.5 million times, and it's the guests and listeners who have made the show a success. Speaking of new guests, on the 21st next week, we'll have What Do Cops Watch with Chris DiGiuseppe. And on the 28th, Conversations with a Marine Corps General, and that'll be with Major General Admiral, United States Marine Corps, retired. I'm your host, Lieutenant Raymond E. Foster, LAPD, retired. And you are listening to The Watering Hole on American Heroes Radio. Your number to join the conversation is 646-378-1513. That's 646-378-1513. We've interviewed several of those who've served in the current war on terror. Here's a clip of Gunnery Sergeant Nicholas A. Popovich, USMC retired, the author of Once a Marine and a Very Short Piece about the Second Battle of Fallujah.
You know, when I first got hit, you know, my crewmen, they're both wounded too, and they step up, they stay in the fight. They, you know, one guy's managing a machine gun with his arm bleeding, the other one's wounded, he's up there commanding it, the other guy's fresh out of high school, and he's driving, the top of the tank's on fire, you know, and I couldn't see, I was blind, I was deafened, I didn't know what was going on, but these guys, you know, they did that to save my life. And then when I got to the medevac site, you know, these corpsmen, they're risking their lives, they're taking their own body armor off to cover me up, to give me just a slightly better shot of surviving.
To hear the entire interview of Gunnery Sergeant Nick Popovich, author of Once a Marine, go to AmericanHeroesRadio.com, episode number 38. Here at American Heroes Radio, we are sponsored by Leadership Texas Hold'em Style. Charles Oshbacher, a top 50 reviewer on Amazon.com, posted a review of Leadership Texas Hold'em Style. He said, in part, about the book, "This is, without question, one of the best books on effective leadership ever written, and it is profound and entertaining, as one of the most unusual yet best possible analogies is used." He continued, "Many books on leadership tend to be correct in their content, but dull in their delivery. In this case, the content is superb, and the delivery is even beyond that. The comparisons between poker and quality leadership are apt, educational, and make this book one that should be read, reread, and intellectually digested."
Are you a leader? Challenge yourself. Leadership, Texas Hold'em Style, the leadership book written by leaders for leaders. Challenge yourself. 52 chapters, 52 practical leadership concepts, 52 cards. Leadership, Texas Hold'em Style, vision, direction, determination, honor, action, and change are a few of the 52 leadership concepts. Challenge yourself. Leadership, Texas Hold'em Style, available at www.pokerleadership.com.
For more information on how leadership is like poker, go to www.pokerleadership.com. Major Richard Botkin, United States Marine Corps retired, the author of Ride the Thunder, a Vietnam War story of honor and triumph, was a guest here on American Heroes Radio. Why did you write Ride the Thunder?
Well, it's a story that kind of fell on me. I began the story as a short story in 2003. I was actually writing about John Ripley, whom some of your listeners may be familiar with. John Ripley was made famous because he was the man who blew up the Dong Ha Bridge on Easter Sunday in 1972, and we discussed that quite a bit in Ride the Thunder. His actions alone stopped the NVA offensive, and from a strategic standpoint, I mean, his actions stopped. If he hadn't done what he did, Raymond, the war might have well ended in 1972, because if he had not blown the bridge, the communists would have gotten their tanks across, and the momentum of their attacks would have swept them very likely to victory in 72 instead of 1975. What Ripley did, number one, was physically impossible, but he did it anyway, and it had major strategic impact. Many people say, why didn't he earn the Medal of Honor? And I don't have a good answer for that. I took the title, Ride the Thunder, from a speech given by Teddy Roosevelt. It's the old man in the arena speech that I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. The people are familiar with that portion that talks about the striving and never giving up. the best part of that speech is left out, and the best line, in my opinion, and I stumbled across this as a young second lieutenant, and I Xeroxed it and carried it around in my wallet for years, and it reads, "There is little use for the being whose tepid soul knows nothing of the great and generous emotion, the high pride, the stern belief, the lofty enthusiasm of the men who quell the storm and ride the thunder." And that struck me, and I think nobody since Teddy Roosevelt has described American manhood in such a strong, stirring way. And I think that many people who join the military, many people who serve in law enforcement, are basically nothing more than romantics, and we believe in serving in a higher cause. We want to win one for the Gipper, and I just thought that if I ever wrote a book, I'd call it Ride the Thunder, because Teddy Roosevelt's call to manhood is so stirring. And then, of course, because that has no connection to Vietnam, I used the subtitle, A Vietnam War Story of Honor and Triumph. And the reason I put that in is because there's never, or rarely, is there ever honor or triumph associated with our actions in Vietnam.
To hear the entire interview of Major Richard Botkin, USMC retired, the author of Ride the Thunder, A Vietnam War Story of Honor and Triumph, go to AmericanHeroesRadio.com, episode number 75. American Heroes Radio is growing into the American Heroes Radio Network. At our homepage on AmericanHeroesRadio.com, click on the link to find the network and find other Blog Talk programs hosted by current and former military, police, and fire service personnel.
Hi, this is Mojo. Along with being the host of Talk Radio Portal on Blog Talk Radio, I'm a retired veteran of the Air National Guard with 26 years of honorable service. And now, I am a member of the American Heroes Radio Network. Along with Lieutenant Raymond E. Foster, LAPD retired, we'd like to invite those who share the same interests as us by providing you an avenue in which to share your stories either as a guest or a host on the American Heroes Radio Network. For scheduling to be a guest or details on how to become a host, email your inquiries to Lieutenant Foster, founder of the American Heroes Network, at editor@police-writers.com. The camaraderie you enjoyed in the military, or as a police officer, or a fireman, does not have to stop when you retire or change careers. You can unconditionally keep it alive by being a guest or a host on the American Heroes Radio Network.
The chat room is open, and we'll take calls later in the show. So if you'd like to join the dialogue or ask Josh Waddell a question, the number is 646-378-1513. That's 646-378-1513. Josh Waddell has 19 years of experience in public service. He has been a volunteer firefighter, is a military veteran, and now a police officer. Josh is also the owner of Never Give Up Solutions, providing speeches to motivate, encourage, inspire, teamwork, and stress management to all types of audiences. Welcome to the program, Josh.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor.
Well, so, you know, I'm always interested in how a guy or gal ends up in the military. How'd you end up?
I had some family friends that were in the military, and I guess that I always thought that one day, you know, I looked at what they did, and I says, well, I'd really like to go in the military and give it a shot. And I had two grandfathers that were in the military as well. So I think with all that put in together, I says, you know, this is something that's meant to be. And then it just, everything took a role.
You know, I often find out that guys in the military, they have this huge public service career. I mean, you've been a volunteer firefighter, and you're now a police officer. Now, I've always been interested in how is being a firefighter different than being a cop?
You know, it is a lot different in a way of how you handle things. I mean, being a cop, you're out in the street, you're dealing with the public, you're fighting crime. It's a dangerous situation. We all watch the news. But I give firefighters so much credit for what they do, because I was in those burning buildings, and you know, I never had the opportunity to save somebody, but I was always there to help people. So, you know, it's two different career fields, but you're there to help the community and help people. And you're both in both career fields, you're put in harm's way.
Yeah, without question. One of the interesting things about public speaking is they say that I'm sure you've heard, there's two things people are most afraid of: death and public speaking. Why are people so afraid of public speaking?
It is. I don't know. I remember the first time I had an opportunity to do public speaking, and it's like, oh my God, you're scared to death. And you know, it's interesting that you brought this up, because USA Today did not too long ago, statistically, they stated that people are more scared of public speaking than dying. So in reality, you'd rather be, you know, 6 feet underground than speaking in front of a group of people.
I've heard that many times before, and I think it's the immediacy of that also. I mean, death seems pretty far off, but, you know, you're 2 minutes away from going up on stage and speaking before a group of people. That's pretty immediate. And, you know, that public speaking, one thing about, I think, for cops, and it's different. You go and you have to push a crowd back, or, you know, establish a crime scene. There's a bunch of people. You tell them to get back. But then I've seen the same cop who'll do that, who goes to a community meeting, and suddenly he's got 15 or 20 friendly faces, and they want to hear what he or she has to say, and they completely just freeze up.
Yes. But from what I've learned being a police officer, I'm able to correlate that into public speaking, because I totally agree what you're saying, because, you know, one minute you could be pushing a group of people back, and then, you know, it could be 15 minutes later, you're at another scene where you don't have that disruptive crowd, but you're dealing with some nice people, and your personality has to change automatically. And you just become used to it. And same as public speaking, you have to be able to get yourself into the audience and see their feelings and know what they're going to be used to.
If I say "woosha" to you, what comes to mind?
Woosha.
Woosha.
That sounds familiar.
Verbal judo, Dr. George Thompson,
yes.
Is woosha.
Yes, now I remember that, because I remember when I did it, I went to his that class that he put on. He kept on saying that.
That was George Thompson actually did that verbal judo all across the country. He's deceased now. And he wasn't a guest on the program here, but he and I had many conversations just before he died, because a lot of what he would talk about with verbal judo and talking about language and words and incorporating those into body language is very interesting. And I understand it's also been a huge influence on you.
Yes. When I went, he had mentioned to us that he had residence here in upstate New York, and he did a class for law enforcement in the Finger Lakes, Central New York area, for verbal judo, and I signed up for the class and I went, and that guy was absolutely amazing about how he used his words and his body language. I remember him saying, "There will never be violence in my presence," just by the way that he was able to articulate his words and use his body language. It was absolutely amazing. And I was, unfortunately, I couldn't take every technique that he threw at us, but some of the techniques that he gave us, I have used on the street. I've used in public, not working as a police officer. I've actually used them on my own fiance, and these things that he taught us work.
Yeah, he's an interesting character. Why did you want to become involved in public speaking?
You know, I had a lot of training in the military, And then I had the opportunity to get more training in law enforcement. And I enjoy public speaking. I think it's a lot of fun. And I have had a lot of endeavors in life. I've been, you know, I think everybody in their life at one point or another, you're going to have trials and tribulations. And I can't say unfortunately, but I'll say fortunately, I've had those experiences and I've been able to pull myself through these trials and tribulations. And then I got into the public speaking and I enjoy it very much. And I know that I could take these experiences of life and hopefully I could maybe change somebody down the road.
Our guest is Josh Weddle. He has 19 years of public service experience as a firefighter, military veteran, and now police officer. He's the owner of Never Give Up Solutions. If you'd like to join the conversation or ask a question, the number is 646-378-1513. That's 646-378-1513. So public speaking, how do you prepare yourself for a gig? Let's say you get a gig to speak and you're going to prepare yourself. What do you do?
I want to talk to the wherever I'm going to do the public speaking. I want to talk to the event organizer, whoever it may be. I want to figure out what my crowd, what my audience type is going to be. Am I going to be dealing with a high school with juniors and seniors? Am I going to be doing a corporate gig where I'm dealing with people that are highly educated, have a very good understanding of their business? And I need to know the personalities that I'm going to be dealing with. And obviously the attendance, how many people I'm going to have in attendance. And I had a format for the school that I went to in the Air Force on developing a speech. And that was my instructor that I had at that time was a useful tool. He did public speaking himself on the outside. So I ended up using that template, and that's what I use because it's been such a good tool for me. And what I do is I write up and I just make bullet points. And I can memorize, okay, I see the bullet point, but I can memorize, okay, this is what I'm going to talk about. And so I developed this on a piece of paper, I print it off, and then I will actually talk the speech out loud and get myself familiar with what I'm going to talk about. It's kind of difficult to walk into an audience and not have any clue. Well, you have this piece of paper in front of you, or you have an idea what you're going to talk about, but you need to practice what you're going to talk about, because if you don't, you're going to sound clueless.
What I do, and I just I spoke a keynote speaker at St. Thomas University in Minnesota for their anniversary of their public safety leadership program. And I have different categories for speeches, and then, of course, different lengths. And what I've done is I've broken up subjects into what I call modules, so that I sit down with a client, and especially in leadership, there's 52 different modules, and we talk about which of these issues do we want to pick out. Each of them is about 45 minutes long, and we can pick out depending on how long you're going to go. That's been pretty successful, but the other format that I learned a long, long time ago, and I teach and I use and I swear by for both writing paragraphs and speeches, is tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them over and over again. You know, that simple thing. You probably learned that in school, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's the most exciting speech gig you've gotten so far?
I don't have the most exciting one. I think everyone's excited. I think I really enjoy it as far as the adrenaline. It's a lot of fun. I think some of us that are law enforcement, military guys, firefighters and whatnot, we have a huge adrenaline rush. So getting up in front of a crowd and speaking is a lot of fun.
Has police work made you a better speaker?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when I first started in police work, I can remember going on my, you know, first several calls, handling complaints and trying to talk to people, trying to read them and know what to say to them. And the fortunate thing about police work, and I think you would agree with us, you meet people from all walks of life, high-end, middle class, lower class, people with mental health issues. You meet everybody. And you learn how to talk to every single different group. And everybody responds differently to the tone and your body language. So it has helped me immensely for the last 8 years of talking to people from all walks of life. And I totally enjoy it. And I purposely take time out of my shift and I will talk to people and pull up next to them and have conversations with them. And it's just, I think the more speaking you do, the better you're going to get at it. So I always take time out of my work day, you know, when I'm still on patrol and I talk to people and, you know, even when I'm on complaints and I, you know, sometimes depending on the situation, I get people's minds off of what we're there for and I will end up speaking to them. So about something else. So I feel that it's a police work is a great tool that has helped me immensely.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think that 95% of police work is communication. It's talking to people. And it, just as you said, it's talking to people from the heroin addict to the CEO of some corporation, which sometimes this could be the same person, and being able to communicate with them effectively and get information and convey ideas to all types of people. You know, one of the things that and I still get this occasionally. As a matter of fact, I gave up on Monday to give a memorized, which is a different kind of speaking, a memorized, a very lengthy speech. And I have to take, whenever I do memorize, I have to take water with me because I will get a little bit of dry mouth. I'll get a little nervous still to this day about doing that kind of speaking. When you get nervous, what do you do to calm yourself down?
Deep breath. Take a pause. sometimes I'll think about something totally opposite what I'm doing in the back of my head. I think everybody has different techniques of how to deal with nervousness. But sometimes when I do get nervous, I just pause, take a deep breath, refocus again.
I spoke, I guess, Tuesday before the city council, and one of the things that as I was walking, as I was just walking away from the podium, the mayor said, next time you come in here, don't be so enthusiastic. how do you convey, and that's what I try to convey is enthusiasm. I enjoy what I'm talking about. How do you convey enthusiasm to an audience?
You know, you got to bring enthusiasm. I read a book here not too long ago, and I think it's okay if I mention her name on your show. Judy Carter wrote a book, and I don't remember the specific title of it, but she started out as a comedian, and she stumbled into public speaking, and she talks about having enthusiasm and listening to her. Well, I did listen partially to the Audible book and then read a portion of it, but she gives you techniques of how to bring that to the stage. And I think it's highly important. I mean, if you're very monotone, you're going to drive people out. They're going to start picking up their phones. They're going to start looking at the things that are going on in the world on their phones or reading the news instead of paying attention to you. So I find that it's very important to have enthusiasm. one of the funny things, I get picked on a lot at work because – 2-3 years ago, we ended up having a subject in custody, and this is going to relate into the enthusiasm part. So just a quick story is, I had a guy that was saying, hey, Waddell, big head. Well, he said my last name and he said, I had a big head. Well, I don't have a big head, but unfortunately that stuck throughout the police department. 2-3 years later, I'm still called Waddell Big Head. So when I get on stage, I, you know, kind of fondle around in my glasses. I take them off. I says, hey, you know, I got these new glasses and whatnot. And, you know, they're kind of tight on my head, but hey, you're probably saying, look at the size of that guy's head. Doesn't he have a big head? So it kind of like breaks the ice. It gets people laughing a little bit.
Yeah, you have to have that icebreaker there to get for your audience. Hey, well, we're already at the mid-show break, so we're halfway through with a conversation with Josh Weddell. He has 19 years of experience in public speaking. He's the owner of Never Give Up Solutions, providing speeches to motivate, encourage, inspire, teamwork, and stress management. If you'd like to join the conversation, number is 646-378-1513. That's 646-378-1513. Grab a cup. We'll be right back.
www.police-writers.com, www.military-writers.com, www.firefighter-writers.com. Between the three websites, more than 2,000 American heroes and their over 5,000 books are listed. Visit the sites or go to www.americanheroespress.com. For information on advertising on the radio show or any of our websites, send an email to sales@police-writers.com. The music used during the show is provided through a license and is the artist Chris Jurgensen and from his album Big Bad Son. For more information about the artist Chris Jurgensen and his music, visit www.police-writers.com. Stay informed by subscribing to the American Heroes newsletter. This monthly newsletter includes articles written by and for military personnel, law enforcement officials, firefighters, and other emergency services personnel. If you would like to be a guest, send an email to editor@police-writers.com. Stay right here. Your host, Lieutenant Foster, will be right back.
Put your hands on my Bible and swear to tell me the truth. Let me ask a question of you. Put your hands on my Bible and swear to tell me the truth. Let me ask a question of you. I just want to know if you love me, baby, the same way that I love you.
You are listening to American Heroes Radio. Conversations at the Watering Hole with your host, Lieutenant Raymond E. Foster, LAPD, retired. And now, back to the show.
a party going on. Well, come out, baby, there's a party going on. If you come on out, baby, we'll be dancing to the early dawn. Well, come in, baby, it's a nice and warm inside. Well, come in, baby, it's a nice and warm inside.
There we go again, another glitch, and very sorry about that, but first day back after a couple of months off, and things tend to go sideways. You are listening to American Heroes Radio at the Watering Hole, and I'm your host, Lieutenant Raymond E. Foster, LAPD retired. Our guest is Josh Weddle, the owner of Never Give Up Solutions, a public speaking company. Hey, here at American Heroes Radio, we are sponsored by Leadership Texas Hold'em Style.
Are you a leader? Challenge yourself. Leadership, Texas Hold'em Style, the leadership book written by leaders for leaders. Challenge yourself. 52 chapters, 52 practical leadership concepts, 52 cards. Leadership, Texas Hold'em Style, vision, direction, determination, honor, action, and change are a few of the 52 leadership concepts. Challenge yourself. Leadership, Texas Hold'em Style, available at www.pokerleadership.com.
And for more information on how leadership is like poker, go to pokerleadership.com. Josh, so you have your own podcast. Boy, you're going to get all of these interesting and fun to work with technical glitches going on. How's that going for you?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I just started the podcast, and it was difficult to – and in fact, I asked you for some advice via email. A lot of the things that I had read about podcasting is easy. Well, I got news for you. It can be easy if you're a very technical person. But there's a lot of programs, a lot of software out there that you can use. Everything works different. So to be honest with you, it is starting to go better than it was 2 weeks ago when I was just starting to learn the process. Yesterday I had a podcast, and last night I had to do the editing for that podcast, and I had to learn. I almost thought that I lost the whole thing, the whole entire podcast. I thought I lost it, and thankfully I didn't. I had to go back looking for it, but I found it about a half an hour later after I thought I lost it.
It's a really interesting thing to do. Now, do you do this live, this broadcast, or do you record it and then hang it on a website somewhere?
I record it and then I hang it on a website. Yeah. In fact, I'm inspired by you, what you're doing it live. And I think that could be an option down the road. I think once I start recording and start learning how to do it, I think that down the road, I may take it and, you know, turn the course and do as what you're doing.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing about the live, I like live better because often we'll get interaction with the telephone calls or in the chat room. And that tends to happen if you go for a later hour in the evening. Right now it's a dinner hour on the East Coast, and it's the traffic hour on the West Coast. So it's simpler for me. But then it gets downloaded quite a bit it's immediately archived afterwards with the software. The problem being live is that, as has happened twice, the telephone line has just gone down, and there's nothing I can do about that. I can't control that. I have to click that. I call it my emergency rift. I just click that and then, you know, figure out another way to get on and then come back into it. So you just have to be real flexible and learn to play with it. Hey, so let's go back to public speaking because people are very interested in that. For someone who wants to get better at public speaking, what's the couple of things they can do to get better?
Practice. It's one thing, and volunteer. Volunteer your services, volunteer to go to a high school. I am a veteran, and being a veteran is very dear to my heart. So that's a lot of things I like to talk about. So that's what I practice on. I jot notes down. I mean, people have different ways of how they want to get better at doing certain things. I've watched videos online of very good public speakers that are world-renowned speakers and watched their techniques and watch what they do. Again, going back to George Thompson, the guy was amazing. And, I mean, he could actually speak to you through his body. he didn't have to use his words.
Yeah, no, that's another thing that I like to do is I like to move around when I talk. And you talked earlier about learning to use your voice, to modulate your voice, both in terms of, I think, tone and tempo are both important.
Oh, absolutely. If you come out very monotone and talk at one level, like I'm doing right there, you can remember your, 11th grade English teacher back in high school. Oh, you'd be sitting there going, oh, my God, this is so boring, I could fall asleep. It's the same way of public speaking. You got to be able to come out enthusiastic, icebreaker, get the people motivated, get the people interested that you're entertaining.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think people do not use very effectively is silence.
Yes. Pause. You know, when you pause on stage, people will focus their attention on you because they're going, what's this guy waiting for? You know, oh my God, what's he going to say next? Instead of if you sit there and you do the and the ands and those things are going to deter people. So the silence, the pause, people, that will draw attention, believe it or not, it does work.
Well, and not only that, but I, your mind's going so much faster than your mouth can possibly go. I consider that a deep breath and a pause to be a tactical pause, just to let my brain catch up or my mouth catch up with my brain.
Yeah, because sometimes you got to go, all right, where was I at? Because sometimes you can get off course and get on another topic. So those things do happen. You got to stop. But the audience is thinking, he's stopping because he's going to get my attention again. But sometimes you're actually stopping going, okay, where was I at? They don't know that, but you do.
Now, have you yet experienced the dying on stage?
As far as like, oh boy, I'm off track. I'm gonna lose this.
Yeah, well, there's two things that remind me. Number one is, of course, I was a sergeant and lieutenant, and I remember very much being the lieutenant in charge of central traffic, and I had 52 motor police officers on the day watch, and I had to give roll call, and it was akin to giving roll call to Easter Island, those statues that, they don't move their faces, and so you'd have these 52 motor cops just staring at you with this blank expression, and so there's absolutely no audience feedback on that, and that's not dying, that's just the audience. But other times when, you just lost the audience, and it's happened to me, I just lost the audience, and I needed to stop and regroup or just get off stage as quick as possible.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever had that happen to me, but I could say that that glare, that look that you get, and you're going, oh boy, can I get them back? And that, in fact, Judy Curtis, that book that I read, she spoke about that a lot, how to get that audience back. I've never had it happen to me, but that, I guess it's that oh crap moment that's going through your head going, oh boy, I'm in deep trouble. And I could only imagine that, and you said you've had the experience of that happening. I wouldn't want to imagine what it's like if you got 100 to 200, 300 people sitting out in front of you, and you're going, I got to get these people back with me.
And well, I did have. Go ahead.
I think a technique you could use, though, when you have that happen, is again, when you start at the beginning, using that icebreaker moment, it's like almost you have to come up with another icebreaker to get their attention back, regroup, and get this thing going again.
Yeah. Now, here's which is an interesting thing. And some people, when they want to come up with an icebreaker, they want to tell a joke. And I always counsel against telling a joke. Now, making fun of yourself is not telling a joke. But if you tell a joke, you're going to offend somebody. and it's probably not going to be very funny. But you use the thing of self-deprecation. I think that that works very well.
Oh, absolutely. Make fun of yourself. People love that. The only person you're offending is yourself. Most of it. So I personally don't care if I offend myself, and people are going to laugh at it. You can't make an open random joke to, you know, a bunch of people sitting out there. And you're right. There's going to be somebody in that audience. You could be in the middle of a MetLife Stadium at a Giants game, and there's going to be one person in that stadium that's going to be offended by that joke. So you just, precautionary measures, you don't. And in today's society, we have people that have emotions, and you got to be careful with that.
Well, and there's so many words, you know, that you can't use, and yet one of the things that people, I think, want the most is for us to talk about sensitive subjects and yet couch them in terms that are acceptable to everyone, mm-hmm. whether you're going to come and talk about discrimination or workplace violence or harassment or whatever the subject matter is. These are sensitive subjects, and yet there are terms and there are words that you just can't use.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And then you got to be very, very careful what you say now. You know, and for me in my career field, and you would obviously agree that, you know, we have to take a biased standpoint. I have to take a biased standpoint. I don't go out there, and especially being in on social media and podcasting and doing this interview with you, I will not talk about the current events that are going on in society today. I will not talk about past current events. I focus on the stresses of police, firefighters, leadership, those types of things, because I'm supporting the atmosphere, the environmental atmosphere that are around these people.
Well, and I agree with you, but I'm not restricted because I'm retired. So the Los Angeles
right.
Police Department,
good point.
They could go pound sand if they don't like anything I have to say. But that being said, even though, and I avoid current events to some extent also, except to look at them perhaps in a wider view or an academic way, because, again, they inflame people's passion. And every time you write a blog entry, and, you know, I've got across 9 accounts, I've got probably 150,000 Twitter followers, you'll just create, you know, havoc. And the other thing I don't do is I don't entertain idiots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in the police department, you have to listen to the idiot because that's your job. But the nice thing about being retired and being in business for myself is I fire clients. I will literally fire clients. I'm not dealing with you. Sorry, goodbye.
Right.
You can't do that in policing. So, I mean, that's a good thing. But you're absolutely right. There's some things that we're kind of restricted speech-wise by the nature of our employment, by the contract we have with our employer.
Correct.
So, you know, you want to stay away. And plus, that you never get anywhere by talking about or inflaming people's passions. And the other thing that I avoid, too, quite frankly, is I avoid conversations about politics and religion. I'll do philosophy with you. I'll do history, but I won't do politics or religion.
I totally agree.
Mainly because they just polarize people to the degree of nonsense that I won't tolerate.
Absolutely.
I can't tolerate. So now, as you build your business, now this is another thing that's interesting for cops and firefighters and police officers. They retire or mid-career, they begin to develop a business. They often find that they don't have the business skills that they may need, and they have to develop those. Have you run across any things that, you know, I'll give you an example. One of the things that's difficult for most cops I've found is to ask for the order, to ask to get paid for what they do. So have you had any kind of experiences in building your business that have been unique to you?
I have. It's been, you know, I started this and it's been, I'll be honest, it's still somewhat difficult. It's difficult getting started, getting up and running. I mean, going from a military law enforcement background into business and not having a lot of business knowledge, it's difficult to get into that field. I think it's more of a learning process and learn as you go, and it's a self-taught process for me anyways. And I kicked myself in my butt because I think I should have, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago taken classes on business management and small business classes and learned a little bit before I dove into it. But since I'm all the way in, there's no pulling back now, and I am focused and determined to not give up, and I'll, you know, push my way through it.
So if public speaking weren't bad enough and a podcast, which is like this huge sea of podcasting stuff, you also now have a book coming out.
That's correct. The book is titled, and here I am, I drew a blank, Shell Shock and Beyond the Blue Line. And I focus in on the book about post-traumatic stress disorder and law enforcement. And you retired from a very large agency, and you out in LA, there's a lot of officer-involved shootings. There's traumatic events these officers go through. Not saying that these small departments don't, because they do. And in law enforcement, we have, I think it's, and I see it, that a lot of these guys go through traumatic events. And then you see it in the long run as it goes through, and you watch these individuals, their marriages start crumbling. They're spending the night at the bar. They have an extramarital affair. These things that you could see that are symptoms of what that traumatic event did to them, and then as it progressively gets worse without treatment. And what I did is I brought my own personal experiences from being a war veteran, being in Iraq, post-traumatic stress disorder, getting involved in law enforcement with having post-traumatic stress disorder, but maintaining my mental health. And people don't realize that police officers will deal with mental health issues through their career, military personnel, firefighters, nurses. Do you see traumatic events? Your body is going to react to that traumatic event differently than anybody else's body. And what I focus on, coming up through law enforcement, dealing with PTSD, recognizing you have PTSD, and I try to give some insight to law enforcement of, hey, you still can fix your problems. Don't let your marriage fall apart. Don't go financially broke. Don't turn to alcohol or booze, because there's ways to fix these things. Don't let yourself fall apart, because inevitably the chances of you losing your career are pretty good.
It sounds very interesting. So not only have you written this book, but you're also delving into another industry with which I bet you don't know very much about, which is publishing.
Yes. I'm taking a route right now because I'm like, in fact, yesterday the podcast that I had with an author, she's a very talented writer, and I told her in the podcast, I says, Jenny, there's no way that I am as good a writer as you are. And, you know, this book, I said to myself for so long, I said, I want to write this book. I got to write this book. I have all the information in my head. I have to get it out. And you've written books yourself, and you probably can say the same thing. And it was like all of a sudden it just came to me, and I was like, I had to start typing. I had diarrhea of the fingers, and I had to start going. And I got it flowing, and I couldn't stop. And I divulged all this information on the paper, and there it was. And then I'm going, okay, I need to turn this thing around. I got to publish it. And I read about publishing, and my fear is I'm probably going to send it to 1,000 different publishing companies, and I'll probably get it all back in the mail saying thanks, but no thanks. So I'm going to take the endeavor of using Amazon self-publishing as an ebook for my first book so I can get it out there. And maybe in the future, I'll try to get it onto a publishing company.
Very cool. Yeah, it's a different world that you're going into, just learning about the process. And I will tell you that my experience, a book is like a child. When you get that manuscript, that's the birth. But now you've got the toddler, you've got the teen years, you've got a whole bunch of management issues that come up that you never anticipated and no one told you about. So you end up with a whole bunch of stuff to do. Hey, how do people find you on the web if they're interested in Never Give Up Solutions, your podcast, and, of course, your book when it eventually comes out?
You know, I just got thinking about this on our break that we had. We talked about the podcast and whatnot. And then I'm like, you know, I don't have a link on my website. So I'll say this. My website is nevergiveupsolutions.net, all one word, .net, nevergiveupsolutions.net. And what I will do after we hang up, I'll go online and get on and edit my website. I'll put out a link for the podcast. Now, the podcast is called Protectors Portal Podcast. And the way I got that name, because I want to include I will focus on every career field, but mainly our emergency service workers, what you and I have done, military, firefighters, nurses. Teachers have stressful jobs. There's trials and tribulations in every job. So I will focus on every career field. I'm also, my main focus is our service people, veterans, firefighters, and whatnot. And I got that name for Protectors Portal Podcast. I was sitting around, I'm trying to get this name in my head one night, and I have a good friend of mine, he's a captain with the City of Albany Fire Department here in New York, and he's a very smart guy, and he's one of those type of people that can just, you know, something comes to him, it's bang, he's got it. And I said, hey, this is what I want to do for the podcast, this is what I'm focusing on, what do you got for a name? He texts me back 5 minutes, he says, Protectors Portal Podcast. So Craig Wickham, his name is, captain with Albany Fire Department, great guy. I give him the credit for the name because I sat there for a full day. I couldn't think of a darn name. It took him 5 minutes.
Well, you know, Josh, we've killed a perfectly good hour. So, brother, I'm glad to have you on the show. When you get that book up there on Amazon, let's get you back on. We'll talk about the book itself. How's that sound?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you having me on the show. It was a very pleased honor to be here. I was all stoked all day about it. Told my fiance, hey, listen, I got this podcast. The door shut to the bedroom. Don't come in.
Well, that's great. So our guest has been Josh Weddle, the owner of Never Give Up Solutions, a public speaking company. He's a former military veteran, police officer, and former volunteer firefighter. And, you know, you can hear the music in the background. That's right. We're out of time here. We got coming up next week on the 21st, What Do Cops Watch with Chris DiGiuseppe. And on the 28th, conversation with a Marine Corps general with Major General Ed Meyer, United States Marine Corps retired. I am your host, Lieutenant Raymond E. Foster, LAPD retired. Conversation with American Heroes at the Watering Holes, produced by American Heroes Press in cooperation with High Tech Criminal Justice and sponsored by American Heroes Press as well as Leadership Texas Hold'em Style. For more information on how leadership is like poker, go to www.pokerleadership.com. American Heroes Press consists of three websites, www.police-writers.com, a website that lists and catalogs books written by over 1,200 police officers from over 500 police departments and over 2,400 books written by those American heroes. www.military-writers.com lists over 1,400 service members as well as nearly 5,000 books written by those American heroes. And, of course, rounding out that the top three is firefighter-writers.com, listing firefighters and EMS personnel who have written books also. For information on advertising on the radio show or any of our websites, send an email to sales@police-writers.com. The music used during the show is provided through a license and is the artist Chris Jurgensen and is from his album Big Bad Son. For more information about the artist Chris Jurgensen and his music, visit www.police-writers.com. Hey, if you'd like to be a guest, send me an email to editor@police-writers.com. I'm your host, Lieutenant Raymond E. Foster, LAPD retired. Good night and good hunting.
Code 4, vehicle trouble. Vehicle patrol unit. 211
and 6, 1022, it's code 4. You see garbage truck one is backing up. Is this on there?
Big bad sir.
Great, item 18 tonight.
Hey. Rotor 6 tonight, route 218.
Ain't got nobody. Love.
Call 1, control 1. Letter 3,
copy. Call
you. Ain't got nobody, no.
3-5 at Center with the Vista, number B-Boy, Coffin Wells, and
Let
Halbin.
The moon and the
second
stars in the heavens
above. 27 years. RP was uncooperative. Advice was occurring in a park.
apartment. She was calling from apartment A. Adam, it was a great way. She's been disconnected at 300 Linda Vista, number B boy.
1-1-1, copy that.